Welcome to the Jam Sports Hour. We are your hosts. I'm Mike here with Javier
What's up?
and Alex,
How's it going?
bringing you the sports world for 1 hour. Now this is our first show, and we're going to be bringing you the news of the past week for the next hour. Let's get right into it. First topic is the Super Bowl. Obviously, the two storylines here are we have the Seattle Seahawks looking to be the first team to repeat as Super Bowl champions since the 04-05 Patriots. And then, of course, we have the Patriots with Tom Brady trying to capture that elusive fourth ring. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Vies, you being the Patriots guy,
Yeah,
I guess you go
I got it
first.
there. I got it. Well, think it's a very close matchup. You see, you got two great teams. I mean, you have the Seattle D. I think this whole game is going to come down to Seattle D versus the Patriots offense. I mean, it's their two best units out there. I mean, can the C? I mean, the Seahawks are practically stopped every team so far this season. I don't know. I want the big question is if they can stop the Patriots. Obviously they stopped the Packers last week. I don't know if they can stop the Patriots this week.
Barely.
What?
I said barely. They
I
barely
mean,
stopped
yeah.
the Packers.
Yeah, I know, but that offense, I mean, yeah, it's also like the offense because of the Seahawks. I think this bi a big question is their wide receivers. I mean, you're going to go against Darrelle Revis, the best in the league, and I don't know if either whoever he covers, probably Doug Baldwin. I don't know if he's going to be able to, if they're
Yeah.
going to be able to throw to Doug Baldwin because you know where they're going to be going. They're going to be going to Revis Island.
And another thing with that is, last week, or during the championship game, they lost Paul Richardson to a torn ACL, so they don't even
Yeah,
have
exactly.
that wide receiver.
Exactly. So you honestly, they could be shut down. Both of their receivers should be shut down. You could shut down Baldwin with Revis, and then maybe Browner. Maybe Browner covers Curse. They shut him down. I mean, Curse may be covering the tight end, but either way, I think it's going to be tough for the Seahawks to gain some offense against the Patriots attack defense. Where I think that the Patriots defense may have problems is their. Is stopping Marshawn Lynch. I mean, that guy just runs over people. He's like a damn Tonka truck. He just runs over you, man. He just
That's
runs over
true.
you. Yeah, I know. He just runs over you. I mean, the Patriots have been stopped. I mean, they've gotten better. They had a like the first week of the season. I think I remember them getting like demolished by Knowshon Moreno, and I'm pretty sure Marshawn Lynch is a lot better than like Moreno. So I don't know.
A little bit better.
Think he's a lot better. He's
No,
a, I
I'm just
think to
kidding.
me, I think he's the best in the league. I think he's the best
He
running back in the
probably
league.
is.
I think he's better than Murray. I think Murray's offensive line helped him the most. But with that being said, like the Patriots, but their run defense has gotten better. But I don't know if it's up to the task of defeating and stopping Marshawn Lynch. So that's where I think it's going to be a big difference. And also, a lot of people are talking about Chancellor versus Gronk, like that matchup. I think it's going to be the biggest matchup. I think it's going to be Lynch versus Dante Hightower and how Hightower's going to stop Marshawn Lynch. I think that's the biggest key.
I agree. But just to put my own piece on this, I feel like the Patriots, they destroyed the Colts so much this past game. And we'll get into the deflation BS later. But I feel like because of that game, a lot of people think the Patriots are just gonna like for sure win the game. Not for sure, but like they just beat the Colts so perfectly. Like I didn't see anything. They looked like the Seahawks against the Broncos last year. That's what it really looked like to me. I mean,
Well,
they couldn't score at all.
the coach. The coach shouldn't have been there. Like, I
Yeah.
don't think they should have. I think the true AFC Championship game was the Patriots versus the Ravens. That was a
I agree.
true one. This
Yeah.
was just
100%.
like, yeah, this one. I don't think the Colts. Like, no disrespect whatsoever. But I think that the Colts I don't think they should have been there. I think it should have been Patriots Ravens championship game.
Yeah, Colts had no business playing that deep into the playoffs.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I mean, how far can you get with Trent Richardson on your roster?
No, don't forget about Boone Herring.
Oh, man. Daniel Boone Herring.
Daniel Boone Herring. I mean, I don't know. It's just, but this game, I feel like it should be better. It's going to be better than last year's. I mean, I'll call it right
now.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bold prediction.
That's tough to do.
That's not a bold prediction. That's a fact.
But, like, the two best teams by far in the league this year. Maybe some would say Green Bay for the NFC. But Patriots are obviously, they were the best the entire year, except for the first, like, 4 weeks, maybe, in the AFC. I just think that I'm just worried about the Seahawks offense because, like you said with Revis, they only have, like, one wide receiver, Doug Baldwin, who's, like, not even that great. Like, he's okay, he's fine, despite whatever he says and goes on rants at the media and whatever. I don't know why he does that. But
he's on the Seahawks, that's why.
That's true. But I feel like if they're going to be in the game, I feel like we'll tell early on if their offense is going to work based on how Lynch does and if the Patriots already stopped them. I think they are going to stop them. Stop Lynch, I mean, or go in beast mode. I just feel like Belichick is such a good coach, and I feel like we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Certainly should be a good game. And I think the line right now is at Patriots 1.5, last time I checked. And if that line stays true, then this would be only the fourth time in NFL history that a Super Bowl line has been within 3 points. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Oh, nice Bill said it was going to be 2.5.
Was it 2.5?
Oh, Bill.
But you know.
Oh, and one other, like, I'm worried about the Seahawks defense. I mean, they looked a little banged up. I don't know. I haven't seen them practice. I don't know if Sherman's going to be there, if he's going to be at his full 100%.
Yeah.
But as my man Stephen A. says, to be the best, you have to beat the best. But I don't know.
We love Stephen A.
Yeah, so I don't know. And then Earl Thomas, too. Earl Thomas and Richard, a half of the Legion of Boom being injured. I don't know.
Yeah, they certainly have their fair share of injuries to take a look at.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
Yeah, it certainly should be a good game. Now, let's move on to our favorite topic, Deflategate.
Oh, my God.
Are we sick of this or not? Are we sick of this?
I've been sick of this since the first day. And I'm just going to say it right now, I don't care. I don't know how this was, like, the leading story in the entire country. That doesn't make sense to me. But I sort of understand why. Because, you know, the Patriots have been, you know, they've had their history with cheating and stuff like that with Spygate back in whenever. But it's just, the bottom line is it's deflated footballs. I don't know if they really have an advantage for the Patriots. Like, if they're easier to throw, that's what they say. But it's kind of like, I don't know why this is such a big story. And I don't know if that's going to impact the game or not. I've been thinking about that. I don't know if the Patriots are going to be angry and come out swinging or if they're just going to be out of it, too distracted.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that they're going to be very energetic. This thing, this whole Deflategate is going to make them energetic. They're going to want to go out there and get it. But I don't know. I don't really know if that's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this whole topic is so stupid. Like,
exactly. Like, and it's not even like they played the whole game. They played the first two quarters, and then the referees deemed the balls. They couldn't play with the balls. And the second half of the game, they played with practice footballs, which were inflated fine. So, you know, and this whole thing is just...
And they scored... Yeah, and they scored their most points when the balls were inflated at the at the legal, like, value.
Yeah, like, it's just enough's enough already. Let's move on.
Yeah, if they really did it, like, I think that's the whole question. In my opinion, being a not biased here, you know, I don't think they did it. I mean, Robert Kraft put his whole practically his whole career. No, I don't say his whole career, but he put his tail on the line for like these guys. And I believe him. I believe Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick got so pissed off at the media for them asking these questions, like constantly asking the questions about Deflategate and not talking about the game. And I don't know. I've never seen Bill Belichick that mad in my life. So he's so mellow. I haven't seen him that angry. So I don't
know.
That's
true.
I don't know.
To be fair, it's not like Belichick's the most emotional guy in the world. I mean, he's no Rex Ryan. What do you say to talk to the media?
Let's go get some snacks.
Yeah. one of the better videos ever, possibly, on YouTube that you could find in terms of the whatever that show was called.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. There you go. Thank you, Kev. But my opinion, I feel like this is just a ridiculous media stunt. It got overblown. I feel like they're trying to bring publicity. Maybe too much publicity. But I just think this is probably what happened. Belichick was all like, all right, make the footballs how Brady wants them. And Brady asked for them to be a little deflated. And they didn't realize it would end up being a big deal and that they would get caught. And they did. And that's it. I really don't care.
Yeah.
If they do win, which I might be a little biased, I don't really want them to win necessarily. But if they do, I hope that this deflate stuff doesn't like show up and they're like, oh, you know, the Patriots are cheaters and they should have won the Super Bowl. I don't think that's true. They're a good team. And they deserve a lot of credit, especially Brady, especially Belichick. And that's just my, you know, 2 cents on that.
Yeah, and going back to what you said about Brady asking for the balls to be deflated, I think I agree with you with that. I think that Brady would be the guy to ask that. I don't think Belichick would do that. I think Brady would be the one to do that.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think Belichick had anything to do with this. I think it was all Brady.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. Maybe, you know, the balls are inflated up to 13.5. Now, first of all, before we get into this, Bill Belichick, the science guy. What are your thoughts on that press conference?
Bill Nye, the science guy?
No, Bill Belichick, the science guy. Oh,
all right.
That press conference. What did you guys think of that?
I don't know, man. Once again, possibly the most overblown non-sports story having to do with what happened in the game. Well, it did happen in the game, but, like, it's just not whatever. I don't even know what I was going to say. I don't get it. I mean, he kind of got trashed by so many people. Because apparently what he said was completely wrong about the atmospheric pressure or whatever.
Well, here's the thing. Bill Nye went on somewhere and said that what he said was completely wrong. But then two MIT scientists came out and said that, you know, maybe this guy's right.
You want to know why Bill Nye said he was wrong? He's a Seahawks fan. He worked in I read this. He worked in Seattle.
Seriously?
For like the beginning of his career, he worked in Seattle. If you watch the video, he said, oh, this is completely wrong. And then at the end of the video, he said, go Seahawks. What do you expect this guy to say?
Like, oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Man.
You can't believe this guy.
Found a loophole.
A loophole? You just watch the video.
I know. I've been trying to tune out everything to do with this story so much.
And we've already spent
way too much time
than I could ever imagine have spent time on this. So let's move on. Super Bowl picks. What do you guys got?
Well, I think we know who I picked to win. So, I have my Patriots.
Shot.
You know, I was going to have them winning big. I have them winning kind of big. I respect their defense. I have the Patriots winning 31-21.
Very nice.
Yes.
A full 10 points.
Yeah, a full 10 points. Right now, I don't know how good... I don't know how that Legion of Boom is holding up right now. That's my whole big thing. So, they have the most... They have the most injuries, I'm pretty sure. They have the most injuries. The only thing I'm worried about is Marshawn Lynch, but... And the Patriots protection, but apparently they're getting Brian Stork back from injury after missing one game. So, yeah, I feel confident. I feel confident about the Patriots.
All right, Javier.
All right, well, for my first full 180 of 2015, I'm picking the Seahawks. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. I think that I just have a feeling I feel like this story is just going to throw them off. And I think that they'll make it like, I think the Seahawks will be up by like 10 or 15 points at the half. And they'll be looking like they're dominating for most of the game. Then the Patriots are going to make a crazy comeback. But I think the Seahawks will hold on. That's just a feeling. I could probably be dead ass wrong. Because honestly, the Patriots, I feel like they're just such a good overall team on both ends of the football. But I just got the Seahawks. I'm going to pick them to win.
Well,
24-17. You heard it here first.
Whoa. That a boy.
Not to go against your Patriots.
I get it. It's the closest Super Bowl, I think.
In a while, actually.
In a while, because it's two number one seeds. You have to remember that, so.
Yep.
It's going to be close. I think it's going to be very close. I picked these. Let me just say this. I picked these two teams in the preseason to make it to the Super Bowl. I think this has to be one of the most popular Super Bowl picks, I think. I mean, I think it's not a surprise to anybody. If you notice that the playoffs, there were absolutely no surprises, like no new teams. I think the only surprise was like the Panthers being 7-9. I mean, whatever they were, 7-8-1, yeah, and making the playoffs. That was the only surprise.
Yeah, that was just. I feel like the bigger surprise was just how bad that offense was. I mean, I didn't think that the Panthers would fall off a cliff without like some of the guys on their team, and the Saints. I mean, I don't even know what happened with them. I really honestly don't.
Those are stories.
Those are separate topics with Evan.
Those are stories for other days.
They really are.
I have the Pats winning this one. I have them winning 30-24. The injuries in Seattle secondary, you know, not concerning, not as concerning, but there's still, you know, there's some question. I'm sure Brady. I think Brady is going to go right after Sherman right off to start the game. You know, LeGarrette Blount, you know, found his old home. And what really scares me is giving Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for an opponent. You know, he's one of the best coaches I've ever seen.
I feel like this game, this sounds a little weird, but I feel like we'll know, like, who's going to win very early on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you see Lynch running up the middle of the field, like, a lot, I feel like you could tell where it's going.
If
you see Revis getting picks and stuff, I think you could see what's going to happen after that.
I disagree with you because I think the Patriots, they have a act for starting slow and coming back at the end. That's like
down 14 twice.
True.
That's their signature move.
I agree.
It's getting down by like 14 in the first half and coming back. That's their signature. So, I don't know.
Will be a fun Super Bowl indeed.
All right.
So fun.
Now let's move on to some off-the-field things. What are you guys' thoughts on Marshawn Lynch and his attitude toward the media?
Honestly, I don't have a problem with him not answering questions. I just had a problem with him like not showing up and just giving money away. As long as you do what your employer, in my opinion, because that's what the NFL is for him, your employer, like what your contract says, you just have to talk to the media. Just do that. You're giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't even know how many times he's been fined for this. But I'm okay with him just saying like, hey, I don't want to talk to you guys. Because then eventually I think the media will move on. Although it's kind of sad that both Marshawn Lynch and Deflategate are the biggest storylines about the Super Bowl instead of the actual game. So that's pretty unfortunate. But I personally don't have a problem with it. But in the end, I know where you're going with this, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you could just, you don't even have to say much. Just answer the question. Just be like, you know, I can't wait to work with my teammates or whatever generic answers these guys have.
Popovich.
Yeah, pull a Popovich.
Exactly.
Straight up Popovich.
The thing, it just annoys me.
But,
oh, go ahead.
You hear him today? He lectured the media today. You see that?
I did not.
I didn't see. It was
like,
in.
He said, quote unquote, hey, look, he's no, I'm not going to quote unquote. He said, he basically said that all week, he's been telling them that he's not going to answer their questions, so why do they keep coming back?
And they still keep coming back. I mean,
it's true.
Exactly. They still keep coming back. As for him just saying what he says, whatever he says, like thanks for asking or whatever. I mean, I don't mind it. Gives a little flair to the NFL, I think. I mean, I can see why he does it. Like people, obviously before people have been mixing up his words about what he's been saying. Like, I don't know.
You don't want to get got.
I like.
If you guys don't get that, he was referencing the NFL Network interview he did, where he just—I don't even know what he said. No one knows what he said.
I know I'm gonna get got, but I'm gonna get mine a lot more than I get got, though.
No, but do you see him?
Oh man,
he gave a shout out to Russell Westbrook today.
I actually have not seen.
He did. He gave a shout God. Out to Oakland, Russell Westbrook, his teammates. Instead of answering the question, I mean, I don't mind it. I think I agree with you. If he didn't show up, I would be pretty angry. But
what's the difference? What's the difference between going there and just basically what he's doing is not showing up? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between not showing up and showing up and not saying anything?
The difference is what is written in the contract or whatever,
and that's
whatever the actual rules are. And if he does that, I think I'm fine with it.
He's basically doing what's in the contract. I mean, he's not breaking anything. He's doing what's in the contract.
I see that. But, you know, it's just...
It's true.
Just, how hard is it? You know, you're looking forward to this game? Thanks for asking. How about, you know, we've been here before. It's certainly a big stage, and I'm ready for it. How hard is that?
I can see, no. I think that's a little too much. How about just, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. That's a Popovich kind of answer.
Yeah.
But Popovich does one word answers correctly.
That's true. He does. He answers the media like smart. Like he doesn't like he.
Like he answers the question
exactly what they ask. How are you going to stop Westbrook?
I don't know.
Like that's perfect. He knows exactly how to answer. And he's also won before. That's why he's allowed to do that.
It's just it annoys me.
What do you think about his getting fined for the hat that he was wearing?
You know, it's not set in stone that it's going to be fined because it technically was a New Era cap and the NFL is sponsored by New Era, so he can avoid a fine there. But I think he should still get fined. I think he should get fined.
I agree on that part because it's just the rules, you know what I mean? Maybe you don't agree with them, that's okay, but they are the rules, and that's just, I feel like it's just as simple as that.
I mean, Clay Matthews got fined a hefty amount for, I don't know, drinking Pepsi or something when they had a sponsorship with Coke. I forget. But
yeah, I think, I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Kaepernick got fined because he was wearing his Beats during warm-ups or whatever earlier in the year.
Yeah, it's just...
It's weird. NFL's been getting a bad rap this year for a lot of different things.
Well, I think, I mean, New Era, I think they know it's New Era, but... Just the fact that he pisses the NFL off so badly,
I know.
He has a huge target on his back. I think that's why this is such a big deal.
But it's
that's why.
I think they're bad because it's working a little. I think he's created a character for himself. I think that him just being this strange guy who never talks to the media, gets fined a lot, that makes people want to sponsor him. I mean, you saw what happened with Sherman last year. I mean, he's self-promoted himself brilliantly.
You know.
Maybe Marshawn's doing that. Maybe he's a mastermind and we just don't know it.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
PM.
You know he's not stupid. He seems very smart. Like, you know, he may not show it. He's probably very smart.
He could be, definitely.
People say, you know, he's a very nice guy. You know, he does this, he does that. He's very caring. You know, but we don't know that. We think he's this cold, shut everybody out. Now, not going to talk to anyone type of guy, but, you know, that's not who he is. But the media doesn't know that. No one knows that. Maybe if he would open up a little bit, you know. But
I mean, that's it.
All right, let's move on to the other piece of on-the-field news in the NFL. The Eagles have hired a vice president of player personnel. It did come from in-house. They hired Ed Marinowitz. He used to be the assistant director of player personnel. I think this was the obvious choice from day one. You're not gonna hire anyone from outside the organization during this time, during the draft process and scouting. And Chip Kelly really likes this guy, so you know, as an Eagles fan, I'm excited.
Anyway, are you happy, Ben? You got your little little Eagles news
today. I got that in, and I'm ready to move on.
Whoa! Hold on. Oh. Let me tell you, this hire. What my opinion about this hire was? He player personnel director.
VP of player personnel.
Okay. To be honest, it doesn't really matter, because what this guy says, I don't think it. I mean, I think it matter a little, but it goes. It's all what Chip Kelly wants.
Yep.
But what Chip Kelly wants is what they're gonna get. If they want Mariota, if they really want Mariota, and Chip Kelly approves of it, I think they'll go get Mariota. I mean, he's such a smart coach, and the Eagles value him so much. Like, I think that whatever Kelly says goes.
I feel like they should have given too much up for Mariota, though.
Yeah, because, we'll have a draft thing. But the thing, Chip Kelly has final say here. Like, Ed Marinowitz, like, he's pretty much an advisor to Chip Kelly. Probably get a pay raise, too. But, you know, whatever he says, I'm sure Chip's going to listen to him. Chip really likes this guy. You know, he says he's very smart. But Chip is going to have the final say.
Yeah, you could probably hire like a hot dog to run to be his VP, and he's still, Chip Kelly will still have to say.
But real quickly.
He's a good coach, though. He deserves it.
Yep, he has shown it.
He's good.
20-12 in 2 years.
If Nick Foles, let me tell you something. If Nick Foles wasn't injured, I think they would have made the playoffs.
That's tough.
Mark Sanchez. Don't get me wrong. He was a very good quarterback, but I think Nick Foles he knows that system.
Yep.
And he knows how to run it. I think they would have made it with him.
I think the Eagles got a little bit screwed by the fact that the Cowboys.
I mean, you had the Cardinals in there.
I know, and they had a lot. They just played a lot of good teams. Like, people talk about how they lost, like, their last, like, what was it, 3 games?
Yeah, this is painful for me to relive.
My bad.
Hey, you brought up the Eagles, so, hey, we went off on a tangent. My mistake.
No, it's fine. It's just, you know, Nick Foles, you know, people can say what they want, but I'm basing him on his record, wins and losses. 14-4 as a starter. So, you know, I'm happy with that going into next season.
I agree.
At least you're not stuck with Geno Smith.
I'd feel pretty
Shout
bad.
Out to the Jets.
What are the odds the Jets wind up with Marcus?
Ooh, what? It depends what pick they have. I think they have the 6th pick.
They have the 6th.
4th or 6th?
No.
Oh.
Jets had the 6th.
They're taking Cooper. My prediction.
What if he's off the board? God.
No. I think the Raiders, because they want to get some weapons for D Carr.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot about the Raiders. Forgot about a lot of the stuff with the Raiders.
Raiders, yeah. I think,
their draft's pretty good.
I think the Raiders had the best draft this year.
They did.
Had some good picks in there. Khalil Mack, underrated season, I think.
He was the best player on the Oakland team.
He was pretty good this year, and I thought he was going to be a bust. I don't know why. Just because he was drafted by the Raiders, honestly.
Yep. Let's move on to some NBA news.
Woo!
Except for all these injuries. Brandon.
Oh, man, what a transition.
Brandon Jennings, Kobe Bryant, Kemba Walker, LaMarcus Aldridge, Tony Roten. I mean, these guys are all out for an extended amount of time, except for LaMarcus. He's playing through it.
And apparently he's, like, gotten better because of the injury. I mean, what did he have yesterday, like 40? Check right now.
LaMarcus?
Yeah.
I think he went 36-12 or something like that.
Jeez.
54, never.
Here's my question. Which one of these injuries is going to have the biggest impact on the team? And with LaMarcus,
I would say,
you can have it go the other
depends.
Way.
It depends, though. All right, so Tony, I don't think that had much of an impact except maybe trade value, I guess. You know the Sixers better than me. But I feel like the biggest impact one is Aldridge, only if it, like, if he misses time. But, like, right now he's playing through it and doing really well. Like, he went 13-23 yesterday. I mean, and he's played good defense this year, too. I don't think people talk about that. But, I mean, these injuries, the Hornets have been bad all year. They looked like they were finally starting to get it, so this Kemba thing is just kind of like a it's just that's just how their season's going right now. And then Jennings, same thing. Like, the Pistons were starting to get it going. Josh Smith, probably my pick for least valuable player. They obviously just got so much better when they traded him. Or not, they didn't even trade him. They released him. But that's what Stan Van Gundy thinks of Josh Smith. But Brandon Jennings was doing really well. But I like DJ Augustine in the backup role. So I feel like the Aldridge thing is the biggest, only if he misses time.
Well, to me, I think, well, at first I thought it was the Brandon Jennings because he's such a key cog to that offense. But now I see DJ Augustine play. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And seeing the East, I mean, it's not that hard to make the playoffs, so I don't think they're that screwed. Kobe, I mean, the Lakers, they were already screwed when he was playing. So I'm going to go with Kemba Walker, and let me tell you why. I really thought that Kemba Walker was an all-star this year. And, yeah, I thought he was an all-star. I mean, the East is so – they don't have that much depth in terms of all-stars this year. That's just my opinion. And he was doing so well. And they don't really have a backup point guard. I mean, who do they have? I mean, nobody. They literally don't have anybody. So I think, and then he's Brian Robinson. Come on, was that the baseball player?
No. Oh man,
come on.
Let's not talk about the Yankees, please.
Yeah, let's not talk. Not even Brian Roberts.
God.
Yeah. So I don't think. Yeah. So I think Kemba Walker. He's going to be the biggest. They're going to miss him the most. And then he has to – like, Kemba Walker was, like, picking up for the slack of Lance Stephenson, the one and the only Lance Stephenson. So, yeah. And I think – I really thought before the season started that Kemba Walker – I mean the Bobcats and Kemba Walker, I really thought they were going to make the playoffs. I thought they were going to be, like, a top five team. They had so much talent with Big Al, Kemba Walker, and Lance. Like, I thought they were going to make it, but – I don't know anymore. They may make it, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go very far.
I feel like that team is either making a trade or needs to make a trade. I don't know what it's going to be, though. I mean, there are rumors of, what was it, Lance for Joe Johnson, which is, I don't really know what to think of that, except for the fact that the Nets are in such a terrible situation right now.
Yeah. I think that.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know, because that trade's like a change of scenery trade. Like, they're just trying to get Lance into a change of scenery. It's trying to, I think both teams, it's like an even trade. Like, they're both still trying to win, but I think the Nets are still trying to win, but they're trying to rebuild it at the same time, kind of thing. Like, by trying to trade these players, like, that never works. I don't know.
It's true, but another thing, Greg Monroe, he's been pretty good.
Ever since the Josh Smith trade. I have him on my fantasy team. Ever since the Josh Smith trade, this guy has been dropping 30 fantasy points constantly. This guy should be awarded a medal for how good this guy's been doing.
He's averaging 15 points and 10 rebounds. Like, I don't think many people know that. And he's just been going nuts.
Yeah, because people only talk about Andre Drummond because, I mean, like, no, like, they should be, but I think Monroe's having a better season than Andre Drummond.
Especially considering, like, the expectations, I think, for Drummond. The expectations for Monroe, I feel like, are a lot lower, and people are just wondering why he wants so much money. And maybe he's, you know, he's trying to make a case for that.
Yeah, nobody wanted to pay. I remember, nobody wanted to pay for him. I really wanted him to go to the Celtics. You know, I think they needed the big man. And this guy is, like, a young guy that can, like, be a force for them for years, but apparently they didn't want him for that much money. I mean, now he's doing pretty well. He's only 24, too.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I thought that Greg Monroe would be the piston that got moved, not Josh Smith. But as the season went on, and Josh Smith kept shooting those threes, and Van Gundy's head kept getting bigger and bigger, you know, I kind of saw this one coming.
Pretty much how I play basketball. I just take a bunch of threes and miss all of them.
And you're a big man, too.
Exactly.
Except, yeah.
The audience, the millions of viewers out there, you know, they can't see this, but yeah, I'm definitely not the most, whatever the word is, the most athletic individual, you obviously.
Javier will bully you in the paint.
Boy.
I think that the biggest injury impact here is, I think it's got to be LaMarcus Aldridge. Because without LaMarcus Aldridge, Portland, you know, Portland has Thomas Robinson.
They have no big men.
Yeah, they have Thomas Robinson stepping up.
That's the problem. They're in the West. They're in the West. The West is like, if you have one injury, most of those teams, it's huge. Clippers, if they lose one of those guys, they're screwed. I mean, Warriors, if they lose like one of their guys, Clay, Steph, Draymond, whatever,
it's huge.
Yeah, so as soon as LaMarcus goes down, I think that's it for Portland. So as long as he's playing and he doesn't make that thumb worse, I think Portland's pretty safe.
I agree.
But I think Lillard, you know, like a few years ago, I think this was Aldridge's team, like LaMarcus.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know anymore. Like, how well Lillard's been playing, I don't know whose team this is anymore. I think it's like a joint team. Like, it's both their team. Like, this guy, Damian Lillard, is playing possessed this season, I swear.
Mm-hmm. He had a rough game last night, though. Going for it,
but one game.
I know, I'm just saying.
All right.
Oh, is that worse than Derrick Rose going 13 of 33? Oh,
man, I was about to say that, too.
I mean, yeah.
And you still dropped 30 points. We'll get into that game a little later.
It's like a Russell Westbrook game right there.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a couple minutes. Any more thoughts on the injuries?
Not really. I mean, I'm really curious to see if Aldridge is like really okay and if he can play through this. If he can, I have to ask you guys, do you think that's a sign that he wants to stay? Because he's like putting himself at risk.
We talked about this a little bit before. I agree with that now that you say it, because if he didn't want to stay and wanted to go out and test the market, he would not be risking this type of injury. He would have the surgery and sit out the rest of the year and test free agency. I think that this shows that, you know, he expects to stay and he expects a hefty payday from Portland for doing this.
I agree. We'll see what happens there. They've got two interesting guys, you know, Wesley Matthews being the other, that are going to be, you know, in the talks for free agency.
How about this injury? I mean, lately, Dwayne Wade, the latest one, Dwayne Wade, he has a hamstring injury.
He's out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, always the hamstring. He doesn't know when he's coming back. He said he has no idea. And the Heat are sitting with the 7th seed right now. I mean, but they still have a sub-500 record, so...
All right, listen,
I don't know.
Listen.
They're so underachieving. It's ridiculous. Like, I thought they'd be so much better because you see their starting lineup's not even that bad. I mean, Whiteside has been going off. Bosch has been going off without LeBron. Dang's been okay. Wade's been going off with LeBron, and they have Chalmers. Chalmers is okay.
Chalmers, whatever. He does have one good game.
He does. I mean, he's all right. But, I mean, To me, they're a little disappointing. I thought they should be a lot better than they are.
Yeah, as long as
a mixture of things.
As long as that draft pick does not fall below 10 or 10 or below, so be it. I want that pick.
Attaboy, Kev.
All right. Any other news? Injuries?
Injuries? Not too many that I could think of. That are recent, but.
How about Melo's knee? What do you think about that?
He's getting shut down.
I already know. He's gonna play for a little bit. He's gonna play in the All-Star game, which we'll get into All-Stars in a little bit. And then maybe like 2 or 3 weeks after the All-Star game, he's gonna shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. No point. There's no point.
Travis Ware. Jason Smith.
Cle'Anthony Early.
Oh yeah.
My boy.
Forgot about him.
All right. Let's move on. Some of the storylines from the past week. We got the Bulls over the Warriors in OT, and D Rose's first 42-minute game since like 1972. We also got the Cavs winning 8th straight, and we have Atlanta just straight steamrolling the East.
Everyone.
Where do you guys want to start?
Let me start with Atlanta real quick.
Go ahead.
Atlanta's been so good this year that I'm not sure how many of their players are going to make the All-Star team, but this next, I think it's their road trip, or I don't know if it's a road trip, but they play a lot of like crazy, crazy games this next few, these next few weeks. That's going to like tell me if they're for real or not. I think they're for real, but like in terms of going for the title type of real. I mean, they play like the Warriors. They play a bunch of West teams. It's going to be a lot of fun seeing what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I've been watching their games, but I've been following the scores. And I mean, they've been beating up on some pretty bad teams. It's like the Raptors in the beginning of the year when they were the first seed. I mean, they've been beating up on like bad teams. But as you said, I'm interested in what they're going to do against the good teams. Like tomorrow, they're playing the Trailblazers. I mean, I want to know. I want to know if they can stick it. Like, a lot of people are saying that they're the best team in the NBA. I mean, I don't know about that. I still think the Warriors are better because they play in the West. I mean, I want to see how good the Atlanta Hawks are.
And speaking of the Hawks, I just got news that Jeff Teague has been selected as an All-Star reserve.
Deservedly
so. I picked him, I swear.
Deservedly so.
I mean, Atlanta.
Well, I mean...
Go ahead.
I mean, it's not that bad. Their schedule's not that bad. I mean, they play... tomorrow they play the Trailblazers. Then they have a break on Saturday against the Sixers. And then
careful there. We just beat the Pistons.
Whoa.
Yeah. Watch out.
Okay, man.
Here come the Sixers.
I think, I don't know. We'll see. When it starts February 6th against the Warriors, I think that's when it really starts. We'll see how good they are.
Yep. I mean, they've just been straight steamrolling. 17 straight, 22 of 23, 30 of 32. I mean, it just keeps going. So it's certainly going to be interesting when they start playing better teams. They got Portland. Yeah, like you said, Portland tomorrow, Philadelphia. Then they play New Orleans, Washington, Golden State, Memphis. So that's a good stretch of about 5 out of 6 games against good competition. So I think we'll start to see what they're truly made of.
I really want to see them play the Spurs. That's the thing I really want to see. I want to see how they play each other.
Do they have a matchup against them?
Probably. I mean, those teams are like a lot of people are saying, like, they play like each other, and they do. They have, like, the same type of players. It's ridiculous.
Yep. March 22nd.
Mark it down.
San Antonio Spurs. But, yeah.
To stay with the East, though, let's talk about the Cavs.
All right.
One.
All right. So, my opinion about the Cavs, I think the trades that they made for Moskov, J.R. Smith and Shumpert, I think those are very good. I think it propelled them to top two. I think at least top two. I think the Bulls – no, I think everybody keeps giving the Bulls too much credit. I think they're the best team in the East right now. That's a bold statement right there. I think it's them. They play – I mean
– Wow.
Yeah, I think they're starting to get to the idea. I mean, to win in the NBA, my opinion is – you need to have a bunch of – you don't need to have that many stars. I think you need to have a bunch of good players that play. Like, you can't have a scrub coming off the bench. I think that's what the Cavaliers are starting to have now. And they're playing very well, even without LeBron, because they have so many good role players, which they were missing in the beginning of the year. I mean, they have Mozgov, a good rim protector. They have J.R. Smith. I mean, J.R. Smith isn't a good – he's, like, not a good key cog for a team, but – He's a good backup player. He's a great backup player. And they have Shumpert that can play great defense. So I think it's very good. And I think the Cavs will – I think they actually now I think it was a joke in the middle of the year. I mean, in, like, December, saying that they would make the finals. But I think they'll make the – I think they have a chance of making the finals now with those trades.
Yeah. And these past three games, I think it's kind of the epitome of what to expect from the Cavs going forward. So I think LeBron can rest easy knowing that, you know, he's got another running mate that can help shoulder the load when the other team pretty much is doing absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah.
The Portland game last night, Kyrie just dropped 55. Went
oh my god.
17 of 36. That's 47%.
And 11 threes.
11 of 19 from three, which is 58%.
This guy.
I mean, it was crazy.
He's good at what he does.
I was watching this game live. Here's the thing. The rest of the team, 17 of 49. That's 35% shooting. 4 of 18 from deep. That's 22%. I mean, Kevin Love, 3 of 15, 2 of 8 from deep. J.R. Smith, 5 of 12, 1 of 6 from deep. I mean, Kyrie got no help that game, but he just put it on his back. More Atlanta news. Hey, more Atlanta news.
Really?
Al Horford, All-Star Reserve.
All right.
I picked him.
I swear.
So, that leaves...
You, I picked.
Hold on. There's more, Javier.
I think Millsap's a shoo-in. Like, he's not... There's no way he doesn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so good. Like, he just doesn't have a lot of finesse when he plays.
Yeah.
If we back to the Cavs. Let me take a look at the Pistons game, which was the game before the Portland game.
Oh my god, did you see he scored 38 that game.
Kyrie and LeBron combined for 70. Right? So
oh my god.
The rest of the team went for 33 on just it was horrific shooting again. Kevin Love, 3 of 11, 1 of 8. J.R. Smith, 2 of 11, 1 of 6. I mean, it's you know, this team will go as far as LeBron takes them, but as long as LeBron is able to rest on, you know, he knows he's got someone else in Kyrie to help shoulder the load, you know, they can go far. And the in the OKC game, that was kind of reversal. So when LeBron and Kyrie are off, you know, they have Love to pick him up. Kyrie went for 21 points, but it was pretty bad. 9 of 21, 3 of 7. LeBron was 11 of 25 and 2 of 6 for 34. But Kevin Love, you know, he went 19 and 10, got 6 of 10 and 5 of 7 from 3. So, you know, when LeBron's off, there's Kyrie and Love and Mozgov. And so, and then when the rest of the team is off, there's LeBron and Kyrie. And, you know, well, Kyrie's never off. Let's just get that straight.
Well, sometimes.
Some
rough games.
But, you know, this team has a lot of pieces that they can rely on. But when they get to the finals or the playoffs, they all got to be, you know, playing at their best. They can't, you know, none of them can take a game off here or there, like what's happened in the last couple of games. They all got to be there. So that'll be interesting to see.
Because remember, Kyrie and Love, they haven't played in the playoffs before.
Exactly. So, yeah, they have no playoff experience.
I think
that's where LeBron comes in handy.
I agree. I think he needs to
Mike Miller.
Rest a little.
And bit. Mike Miller, oh, Sean
Mike
Marion.
Mike Miller.
Ray Allen.
Yeah, right. I mean, how useful would he be? I mean, he'd be a little useful, but let's come on.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys already have enough 3-point shooting, I think.
You guys have anything to say about the Cavs?
No, that's pretty much it for me. I mean, they're playing well. I think that, I hope anyway, that they figured it out. And it's just, I'm more interested in the Bulls because I don't know if you guys have been following it, but apparently there's a lot of problems with Thibodeau right now.
Yep,
and
relationship with the organization that can't be fixed. Deck, what I'm hearing, like, well, what?
Yeah, Derrick Rose just came out and you know, he backed his coach. I mean,
of course, something LeBron hasn't done. But that's another topic entirely.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they look good in the Warriors game. I mean, they had six people in double figures in that game. The thing that does scare me a little bit is D. Rose. I mean, he did play 42 minutes. I don't know how he feels today. Maybe he's a little sore. See how that knee is holding up. But he went for 30 points, 7 boards, but only 1 assist. I mean, as a point guard, kind of want to see more than 1 assist, no?
Yeah.
Was D. Rose?
Yep.
Yeah, that was rough. And
yeah.
10 turnovers, right?
I didn't look up turnovers, but...
I think he had something like 10 turnovers, but they won the game. You play to win the game.
Yeah, and Powell went 18 points, 6 boards, and 8 assists, so...
Yeah, the thing about D. Rose is I think he's lost some of his explosiveness. Well, he hasn't gained it back, which is why he settled for so many threes his last game. I think he shot for like 4 for 12 from the 3-point line. I mean,
yep.
I mean, that's not that good. I mean, stop selling. I mean,
do you think old D. Rose?
No, he's. I mean, the old one.
It's hard.
I don't know.
He missed 2 years, pretty much. Like, that's the problem. Like, he's been so out so long that, like, he needs to stay healthy, but he also needs to play well.
Well, this D. Rose isn't that... I don't think he's that bad. I mean, the D. Rose playing this year isn't that bad. I mean, he's not as good as he used to be, obviously, but he's not that bad. He's like, a better-than-average... He's, like, a borderline all-star player, this D. Rose. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean, for him to be back to his old self, he has to be explosive, which he's not right now.
That's what I mean. Like, is the MVP version of Rose, like, is that gone?
I think so. I'm gonna go on a limb and say yes.
I think the winning attitude might not be gone. I still think he's shown some moments this year where he's really clutch. But like, I guess counting stats and stuff like that, that might be gone.
Yeah, he's a winner. I think he can win. He can help a championship team win.
There you go. Hey, some big news out of the NBA right now. Big shocker here. James Harden selected as a reserve.
All right. Well, since we keep bringing up these new All-Star selections, let's get into that.
Let's do it.
Eastern Conference. The starters. Carmelo, LeBron, Gasol, Wall, and Lowry. And then for the West, the stars are Blake, Marc Gasol, Kobe, Anthony Davis, and Steph.
Who got snubbed?
Any issues?
The East is all right. I think they got it right in the East. The West is where I take issues.
Yeah, I think we all agree on one thing in the West.
Yeah.
I don't know what Kobe Bryant is doing starting in front of James Harden.
Yeah. I mean,
to be fair.
Yeah, fair enough. But James Harden, I mean, he was within 100,000 votes. I mean, it was like something like 80,000. Oh, crap.
Arguably an MVP.
Wait, hold on, time out. Sorry, continue.
Arguably an MVP candidate, too. I mean, he's mine because... I think it's not only has he helped the team win, he's the leading scorer, if I'm not mistaken. And he's also upped his defense to the point where he makes fun of himself on a Reebok commercial or a Foot Lock commercial, whatever. I mean, he said he was going to improve his defense, and he really did. He's getting to the line a lot. He just does everything. And I just don't understand how Kobe could be starting over him. It's a popularity contest. I think we've known that for a while. But I figured that people would finally be like, all right, yeah, Harden deserves it over Kobe.
Yeah. James Harden is my midseason MVP.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's who it is for me.
Yep.
I mean, the other one is Steph, obviously, because he's Steph Curry. But there's just something about the way Harden has upped his game so much this year, in my opinion.
I agree. I think he's contributing in every category. And he plays, I mean, this season he plays defense. I mean, he's obviously leading the league in scoring. He's up in assists, up in rebounds. I mean, he does it all. He also has my vote for MVP. If not disrespecting Steph Curry, because I think Steph Curry comes in a close second with Anthony Davis being third.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Harden's number one.
Another thing is that, like, Kobe was taking the most ridiculous shots this year. He's shooting 37% from the
field. Ridiculous. I mean, you can't help the – I don't think you can help the Lakers win if you're shooting that low. It's ridiculous.
I mean, so his stats might be a little bit inflated just because of the fact that he takes so many shots. I mean, he's scoring 22 a game, which is good, but on 37% shooting, that's pretty bad, especially by his standards.
Yeah.
He wasn't an all-star. I don't think he was.
No, not at all.
I think he's an all-star, though. But I don't know if he's the starter.
He's certainly a reserve. I'm sure he's earned that right to be a reserve.
I agree.
But he's not a starter. No way. In the East, you could make an argument for Jimmy Butler, but I think they got it right with Wall and Lowry.
I mean,
yeah, if you've seen Kyle Lowry play on a daily basis, he does everything. I mean, they call him the Bulldog. I mean, he basically died when DeMar DeRozan went out. This guy did everything. I mean, if you look at the Raptors team, I wouldn't say they don't have anybody, but they don't have any stars. I mean, they have a bunch of solid players. They don't have any stars. And this guy, Kyle Lowry, he stepped up, and I mean, he held
them
to. He held them to a respectable record.
Yeah.
And he just played really well.
I agree, but me personally, I think it's tough though. I just feel like Jimmy Butler has done so much to improve himself this year. I feel like Lowry's gotten better, but he didn't jump his scoring by, like, what is it, like 10 points? I mean, Butler averaged like 13 last year, and now he's averaging like 20.
Like, I know, but Lowry was honestly the biggest snub of last year's All-Star game. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
That's why I think he deserves it this year.
I think he deserves it. I just feel like I might want to start Butler over him, but honestly, it's not a big deal. Like, I would have been fine with either thing, as long as they both made it, which I assume Jimmy Butler is going
to
make it.
Yeah, I think he has to. All right. Anything else?
Want to talk about the dunk contest participants? It's dead. It's dead.
I agree. We are running short on time. Anybody want to get in some last minute?
Last minute thing. Can't wait for the Super Bowl and the commercials. And also, going to be rooting for my boy JJ Redick in the three-point contest. And for the first time in a while, I'm probably more excited about the three-point contest than the dunk contest.
All right. You heard it here first. Anything else, Vitas?
I'm excited. I'm actually excited about the dunk contest, even though it has the scrub rookies from last year. Well, not really scrub, but doesn't really have that many star players, but I think it's still going to be exciting. I mean, the dunk contest recently hasn't been about star players or anything, but I think these players are explosive. I mean, you got the Greek Freak, you got LaVine, you have Plumlee. I mean, I don't really know about Plumlee, but he seems good, I guess. But, I mean, they set the dunk contest back to the old rules, and I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a whole lot better than last year. I think it's going to be a good contest overall.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Rising Stars Challenge. This new format, USA versus the World's first and second year players, that's going to be fun to watch. 20 first and second year players finally being able to showcase. It's going to be fun. All right.
I agree.
We're just about out of time. I'm Mike. Here with Javier and Vitas, and we are signing off. We'll be back next week with another show. So we'll catch you then. See ya.
Peace. Go Pats.